back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the offseason all of a sudden. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour locally. I'm putting a date together with State Fair. We are going to be at Drug City in a couple of weeks with my dear friend Calvin Statham, who was my middle school musical director. I got a chance to see My Fair Lady last week. And, you know, Rain in Spain stays mainly on the plane. The offseason has begun here for all things Owings Mills. Leonard Raskin joins us now. He'll be joining me on said Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. I'm putting some dates together, and I didn't have a date this week, Leonard, because I thought maybe there would be a barbecue tour stop in Kansas City weekend. And, I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I actually picked against them. But it really is amazing how close they came to winning and how resilient the team is. And tipping my cap to John Harbaugh, who I don't have a lot of personal respect for at this point, but certainly respect the football acumen of they made a game out of it. I mean, they really, really did. And that play of going over the top and the ball getting slapped out in a 14-point swing, I mean, that's as freakish a thing as we've ever seen in January. There wasn't Anthony Mitchell going the other way, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this – I was stunned. I was I didn't think we'd win. I thought we'd have a good chance. I thought we'd cover. And as again, we've talked often, I'm not a gambler, so I didn't bet it. But I believe the spread was 8.5 going into the
game.
And
I thought that was a low spread. I thought a lot of things would have to go well for them to keep it to 8.5. Yes.
I thought they'd cover. And if I was a betting man, I'd have bet on the Ravens and taken the 8.5 and would have cashed a check. But again, another story for another day. Now, as far as the game's concerned, I thought they played an amazing game. I'm always amused, and we've talked about this before, at the people, because I'm a Facebook watcher, and the people that thought, you know, Greg Roman called a terrible game, John Harbaugh should be fired today, that not using timeouts at the end of the game cost them the game, and all these ridiculous things that people that don't know what they're talking about feel the need to talk because they feel the need to talk. I was upset they didn't win because I didn't think there was a chance in hell they would win. And then when they were close to winning, I was actually thinking it might be a great win.
Were you in line looking for a flight to Kansas City? Because I was.
No.
I was.
Hear you.
They had a lead.
I made the mistake New Year's Eve of putting out the let's go to the NCAA football final in California during the beginning of the fourth quarter of the Peach Bowl and jinxed the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Were you counting your Chick-fil-A chickens before they hatched?
Absolutely.
Should have gone to Royal Farms. That's what you should have done.
And so I chose last that I wouldn't do it during the game, and I was not going to buy tickets to Kansas City until the hay was in the barn, as our friend likes to say. So I did not, and watched the game, and right out of the box, it looked bad. And I'll tell you, I'm not a huge fan of Chris Collinsworth. I think he's okay. A lot of people hate him. I don't hate him. I think he does a decent job. I'm just not a huge fan. But after, I think it was the first quarter, they came on camera and he said, if you recall, it was really funny. He said, I'm not even going to pay attention till it's 17-0. The games over the weekend were wild. The comebacks were insane. And so they played a darn good game. And I thought that Huntley channeled his inner Trevor Lawrence and thought he could get over the top with a 6'6" wingspan reach. And unfortunately, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Tyler is not 6'6". So,
well, I mean, you're Mr. Ohio State, Leonard Raskin. So for J.K. Dobbins to not get the ball
down on that goal line, I loved the call to, as I call him, Captain Picard, Patrick Ricard. That was a beautiful call. He'd have walked into the end zone. The pass missed him. That would put it all to bed. You wouldn't even be talking about it. But the pass missed him. So now you got to get it in. And I'm getting it in with Dobbins and Gus. That's what I'm doing. I'm getting it in with Dobbins. I'm getting it in with Gus. I'm not having Huntley, who, again, my thing is, and I don't know, how big is he? He's not a big guy.
No, he is not. I said to my wife, I was in a room with him last year, and was I in a room with him this year? I think I was. Yeah, I was. He's small, man. I said to my wife,
this is my point.
He's not big.
He's not the guy I want. He's not the guy I want behind center doing a quarterback sneak on the goal line. I've got Dobbins. I've got Gus. But I'm not going to blame him for the call. I mean, my goodness, the kid tried. He jumped over the top. He didn't get far enough because he didn't get enough push. And what the heck? They're knocking that ball out, and it goes right to Hubbard, right in his hands. And
it wasn't a quarterback. Now, I thought Mark Andrews was going to catch him.
He would have caught him, except the block in the back they didn't call.
Andrews was chasing for 30 yards, and there's four of them and one of him, and I'm thinking, what are you guys going to turn around and block the only guy?
And
that
they didn't. They didn't. They blocked him in the back when he got past them, and that's how he scored. And so they probably would have scored, but they didn't block him. But my goodness, how great would it have been had that ball gone into the end zone? It was a 14-point swing. It was the ball game. That's it. But from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, we got to say that defense stepped up. They played Ravens defense. The Bengals had 234 yards of offense in the whole game.
Well, one of the issues, they took the air out of the ball. They were only 10 possessions in the game. I mean, it was an incredible one punt. I mean, nobody's punting.
This is how the Ravens are going to win football games.
And the clock just kept running. Right. That's how the Ravens were going to win that game.
And people were screaming. It was, you know, not that Huntley didn't win the game, but they'd have been so much better with Lamar. I don't know how much better they'd have been last with Lamar. I don't know. It's hard to say because Huntley played a damn good game. The kid ran everywhere. He threw some nice passes. Yeah, he threw an interception. I get it. Lamar throws interceptions. Burrow throws interceptions. You could play a perfect game, but that's what you have to do to win sometimes. And the game was two turnovers, one short field and one touchdown. 14 points. The defense was stout. They stood up. Tucker did his job. Punter did his job. One punt, right? One punt in the whole game. I mean, it was a darn good football game on a darn good weekend of football. My goodness, Jacksonville.
We talk about like guys dropping passes. I mean, the Dolphins, the regrets teams will have. I mean, the Vikings lost a home game in the playoffs after a really promising year. All of that being said, for you, and one of the reasons I like having people like you, and Leonard Raskin is our guest from Raskin Global. He manages money and the American Dream and financial planning and advice and beginning of the year and all of that. This is the beginning of the fiscal Bisciotti year.
Yes, it
Leonard,
is.
Right? So,
well, he actually started it last week. He actually started it last week with a $100 million contract.
Well, and it's $600 million from you and me and the taxpayers, right?
Yes,
bought the franchise for $575 million.
That was lovely.
The state just gave him $600 million to keep it here. So we got a rebate.
I didn't quite see the deal, but what was it? Was it you don't have to pay rent at M&T for 10 years or something?
No. It's 15, and it's $600 million. And it's been described, you can go watch my piece with, I've done several pieces on it, and I'll continue to do pieces on it. There's a guy named Neil DeMoss who has written about Stadia for 30 years. He's written books on Stadia.
It's absolutely a tax heist.
Field of Schemes. His website. I had him on in the beginning part of it, and he really follows every one of these, not just every deal that happens.
Right,
he
right.
follows the money, follows what's been said, where the money's going to go. This Nashville deal is unbelievable. The Buffalo deal, they were drawing it up. Did you see they drew the parking lot?
Yep.
So all of this money that's going to this, we don't have to do that because we did that 30 years ago, right? We have these two stadiums.
Well, have to is the optimal word.
Well, the $600 million, the word is it's a little bit of a slush fund. Sort of the Ravens can do whatever they want with it in the stadium as long as the stadium authority is amenable. But the Ravens
the fact is,
when it's not Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks.
Fact is, money is fungible. This is what so money is not particular, right? I mean, if I have $1 million and it comes to me, let's just say from the government in the form of a PPP loan. And now the government says you have to use this for payroll. and rent. And these are the only things you can use the PPP for, payroll and rent. Well, that's great. I use that million for payroll and rent. But that means I don't have to use another $1 million for payroll and rent, which I can now use for marketing or expansion or whatever I want, because basically it's
profit
a $3 million dollars. Well, of course, but anything. The point is anything. So what the city, state may have just done is give Steve Bisciotti a nice way to pay his franchise quarterback, because we just paid Lamar. Because the fact is that if that's $600 million to do with as the stadium requires, Steve doesn't have to use $600 million of his own money for the stadium, which means he can use, I don't know, $250 of it for this guy named Lamar.
It's a little bit of $40 million a year for 15 years, kind of, sort of, in improvements to the stadium.
Right,
which
right.
Improvement to the stadium means a way to make more money.
So which offsets.
The first thing they're going to do is rip the press box up, right?
And
no offense to me, that's not the Chad Steele Memorial press box. That's just, they have this great seating at the 50-yard line that they're letting Luke sit in. And, they're going to, so the stadium improvements might be a betting emporium in the parking lot. It might
sure,
be what you
sure.
see in Philadelphia with that live entertainment super bar, right?
But my point is the money is fungible. So whatever they use it for isn't something they have to use other money for that they might have already thought about. We want to do these things, which means then that frees up $600 million, 40 a year for 15 years to do whatever the heck they want with it. And however you slice it and dice it for contracts, it's $600 million of profit. That's all it is. It's the same. These stadiums are the same as, and I don't want to get political. We're not going to get into politics, but, and it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, what I'm about to say. Foreign aid, foreign aid from the United States takes taxpayer money from low-income folks and gives it to wealthy leaders of foreign countries who abscond with it. You don't usually see foreign aid going to help the foreign poor. It just doesn't work that way. Our tax dollars that you and I pay in and work our butts off to pay, the government feels free to shift that money anywhere they want, and it goes to rich emperors and kings and dictators and the like in other countries that we hope to spread amongst the people, which doesn't get spread amongst the people. So here, Steve has $40 million a year coming in, free profit. That means he doesn't need to spend that money on something else, which frees up that money to pay his star quarterback. And man, the national media is going wild, from Lamar should have played with a knee brace to good for Lamar not playing with a knee brace, to Lamar's played his last game in Baltimore, to Lamar might sign in a week in Baltimore, to what teams would be willing to pay Lamar. And I heard over the weekend, the Jets will shell out big money for a quarterback.
Well, he doesn't have an agent. So what does he do? Does he get on the phone with Joe Douglas and talk money? Is he spending part of his offseason talking to six teams, negotiating money with them? And then Eric has to go in and figure out, well, there's three number ones and there's a two and give me one of your backup safeties because I need one of those or whatever. Or give me your wide receiver.
When you're your own agent, he's put himself in this position. This to me, and again, what the hell do I know? But to me, this whole deal for Lamar in the offseason comes down to one and only one question. Does Lamar want to be in Baltimore? If Lamar wants to be in Baltimore, he can put all that aside, meet with Eric, Steve, whoever he needs to meet with, and say, this is what I want. They can say, this is what we're willing to give. And as his own agent, he can negotiate whatever the heck he can get. And if he wants that, my hunch is he'll get that. This is not the year for him to be out playing in the agent world necessarily, unless I strongly underestimate the young man's talent. Because he could be talking to the Jets, Houston, Tampa, whoever. You know, if you think Tua's played his last game, Miami, whatever, and be looking for what kind of contract they're willing to put together for him, and what do the Ravens do about it? The only thing they can do is franchise him to block it, right? That's it. Or sign him.
It's not blocking it. No. They franchise him first. Get the order right. They franchise him first, and then they give him the ability to go negotiate, which they did that with Ray Lewis in 2008.
That's right. And they did it with Boulware, I think, back in the day, and Suggs back in the day. And none of them were happy about it, but they all stayed here. So in Lamar's case, being his own agent, I just didn't get the order right. So they franchise him, and then he knows his status, and then he can go talk to five other teams or whoever he wants to talk to. And if nobody wants him and the deal doesn't work out, he probably holds out preseason. He probably holds out, you know, all the camps and all that nonsense. And then he shows up day one and you hope he's good.
And by the way, they're going to fire Greg Roman, right? Like, that may have happened by the time anybody hears this, right? Like, they will part ways with Greg Roman. The new offensive coordinator, what's the first question he asks when he shows up?
Who's my quarterback? Right.
And they can't answer that right now. That's an unanswerable question for them.
And I don't know the rules, but if he's on your own team, they could be negotiating with him right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at any point, they signed Roquan Smith last week.
Right,
so, yeah,
but I'm just saying, I don't know the off-season rules, if it's like a blackout period or a stop time. There's no stop time when he's your own player.
There's a start time for franchise tagging, right?
The
season begins in March or whatever.
Right, something.
Late February,
they could be talking to him
right
now. And between now and the Super Bowl, he could be signed. And it could be huge news for the talking heads all over the country. But
it doesn't feel like that's the way. It feels very estranged right now. It feels
I don't know,
unsettled, and it feels weird when Harbaugh talks about him. It was weird that he wasn't there. It was weird that he issued his own press release last week.
I think it was weird that he wasn't there. To me, I don't think Dobbins traveled with the team when he was hurt. Maybe the Ravens, and I don't know, you know better than me. Do the Ravens?
Lamar traveled with the team to Pittsburgh last month. I saw him in the locker room when I was there.
Do the Ravens let hurt players travel?
Sure.
Is that a thing?
All the time. Guys stand on the sideline in street clothes. Sure.
Okay, so it was his choice.
They're going to say we sent him home to be able to play in Kansas City. So this is the BS. This is the BS, right? The BS is going to be we didn't want his knee to swell, but the truth is they didn't want him there, I don't think. I just think they felt like
maybe they didn't want him
distraction.
Maybe they weren't talking to the national media.
I think he has been checked out a little bit here the last couple of weeks
in regard to not practicing. But you just said, for instance, his press release, and people are saying, well, players don't release their own press release. You do when you're your own agent.
But if the Ravens had orchestrated that, the Ravens would have put the statement out on Ravens.com, and it would have come in white quotes in a little purple box, and it would have said, that's the way the Ravens do this. The Ravens did not know about that. Luke guaranteed
me that.
Right,
but the point is, the Ravens aren't playing their game with him. He's made it clear that he's playing his game with them, and they're going to have to figure out if they want him. He's going to have to figure out. The only question I think that matters is, does he want to play here? And he said all the right things up till the last couple of weeks. And if he wants to play here, I think he has the opportunity to be paid ridiculous, generational changing wealth. And look, it's not, what was he playing for, 23 or 30 million right now?
This year, yeah.
Okay. So it's not like 23 million isn't life changing. Okay. Let's face it. That's life changing, but it's not 250. And maybe he'll settle for 200 guaranteed and 280 all in or something silly, but they just got $600 million from the state.
Maybe the Ravens are done with him.
That's the other question. There's two questions. Does he want to be a Raven? Do the Ravens want him to be a Raven?
Well, and this is where I talked to Luke very early in the morning on Monday about this. So I'm a little more lucid at this point. 2019, what was their big title they put on the shirts? Big Trust, right?
Yeah.
Trust did not mean like a trust on a truck. It meant trust with a T, right? That's what it meant, right? I don't know my street language.
Lamar and Mark Ingram.
Each other, right?
Yep.
There's no trust here between the Ravens and Lamar. The trust has been broken.
I don't know. have to assume so, but I'm not sure. You know, the one thing I did find strange last week was hearing Harbaugh say he wasn't monitoring Lamar's workout and recovery, that Lamar was kind of over there with the trainers rehabbing and working out. And I was thinking to myself, self, why would you not check in on your star quarterback?
So you're admitting you're not communicating with your quarterback?
Yeah, is that normal? That didn't
seem normal
to me.
Nothing has looked normal of John's countenance, answers, cadence. And John's dishonest at his core. He's good at standing up there.
Yeah, sure.
Pitching whatever it's going to pitch. He didn't even try to pitch it, which said to me, oh, my God, this isn't good.
During the game, during his game day interview, I actually enjoyed his responses. people were blasting him for being so abrupt. And
you liked him admonishing Melissa Stark?
He didn't admonish her. He answered the questions perfectly fine as a pissed off head coach. What's he supposed to say? We're not playing well. We're not doing well. I'm not playing great. We're not playing great. We're going to fix that. No, I think he did a great job. She asked stupid questions to which he answered perfectly, directly, without a smile, answers to the questions. I thought that was great. The world hated it. I thought it was perfectly frank and perfectly fine. I think they're in the business
of selling tickets and selling enthusiasm in the city that's lost, right? Like, old guys, no offense to you and me.
Yeah.
But, you know, all of my people that I have on the show on a weekly basis, you're here.
Yeah.
We've all seen the deterioration of the energy and the passion around their brand. You would agree with that, right? You've spoken.
Some, sure, sure. But they can pull that back. A win over the weekend would have pulled that back.
I don't disagree with you, but they didn't win.
People want winners. That's it. There are so many fair weather fans. It's unreal. And you put together a deal for Lamar if he wants and they want, and you bring back a strong defense, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and a half decent receiving core. You saw against the Bengals how they win. And in the last few games, I think they could have won more had they stuck to that more. They can run the ball. They can dink and dunk. They got a big over-the-top pass. They got a quarterback that can run. And the question is, who do they want? The problem is they won just enough to not get a draft pick where you're going to take a quarterback. And the question, I guess, if they don't want Lamar, is who do they want? Do they want Tyler Huntley leading this team in 2024 or 2023-4? Is that who they want? Or who do they think they're going to go out and get? I mean, let's not be the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, they locked up Deshaun Watson. We would agree, I think, the stupidest deal.
Well, I think they're arrogant enough to think they could do this again. And I think they've also, and I talked a lot with Luke about this.
Yeah.
They called this an experiment. John called this an experiment, and then it was a revolution, right? It was an experiment, then it was a revolution. I don't know what it is 4 years from now, 4 years later, but I think 4 years later they'd say, this is problematic, running our quarterback and the linebackers for his health, whomever he is in December. This is problematic for recruiting wide receivers, right? Because it just is. We're not going to get wide receivers to play. So, and this is really problematic when he gets hurt, because the minute he gets hurt, and you could say this for every other franchise, if Josh Allen gets hurt, they can't win, right? So,
look, Miami was very fortunate
to get hurt because of the style of play.
Yeah, but having said that, let's go out to Arizona, okay? Arizona, Kyler Murray ran the ball, didn't run into anybody, ran into the 25-yard line, and blew out his knee. Josh Allen runs all over the place and enjoys running into linebackers, like full speed ahead. He's one hit from knocked out, and who do they have behind him?
I don't even know.
Mahomes has been very fortunate to stay healthy. Okay, now he's a phenom, but without him, who's Kansas City got?
But he's also not choosing the run 12, 14, 16 times a game. Like, he's
I get
not.
it.
None
I
of those
get
guys
it.
are doing that.
I get it. But Lamar didn't get hurt running the ball. He got hurt trying to pass and outrun a sack. He didn't get hurt running the ball. He got hurt because he got chased down from behind and landed on by a, whatever, 280, 300-pound guy who popped his knee out. That wasn't a passing play. That wasn't a running play. Look, I hear you. Everything you're saying, I get it. Walter Payton ran into linebackers. The dude was small, and he crushed people. And I don't recall him getting hurt too much. Look, a linebacker, a running back's life is not long in the league. We know that. I don't want to be a Lamar apologist. That's not my goal here. But my point is, 25 runs a game, yeah, maybe too much. 10 to 12, what I've seen, he knows when to get down. He knows when to run out of bounds. He's played the game smart. He got hurt on a passing play. And all these people that, because they didn't win the Super Bowl, want to get rid of him, kind of stuns me.
Well, the question is, what are you going to do? If he's not your guy, and this is his negotiating stance, which is,
that's exactly
I've seen
right.
You play without me. You can't win without me.
Who's your quarterback if not me? It's not, I mean, Tyler Huntley's a good kid. He played good ball against the Bengals. He gave everything he had, and he just had one half a yard, not enough to win that game. But I don't think he's your 17-game starter. I just don't think so. He looked good against the Bengals. I don't know what happens in a full season. You're going to pay him $1 million a year to be your starter? I don't think so. So,
well, Leonard,
we'll see.
We're going to have
we'll
a lot
see.
Of time to talk about this, and I know you're managing money and managing the new year. You can find Leonard Raskin at RaskinGlobal.com. You can also find him at the front of Baltimore Positive. Tell everybody what you do, just in a nutshell, because sometimes I say financial money in America. I have been it's been very impressive watching you work over the last year, year and a half, as to what you really do.
Yeah. So we sit with people at the core, look at everything you're doing with your money, help you understand how to make the most of it, protect it, grow it, enjoy it, and pass it on. And people are lied to. We want to talk about whether or not the Ravens and Lamar are in this game. People are lied to by the government. They're lied to by financial institutions. They don't understand what they don't know. And as a result, people don't profit and prosper with their own money. We help people understand that and help them prosper so they can do the things they want to do that matter most to them and their family. That's what it's about at its core.
Simple. A guy like Lamar, this guy gets $1.3 billion out in Maine. He wins it. You take care of things and make
we
sure
take that, care of things. Make sure it works.
Turn money into happiness and confidence and
absolutely
and being able to sleep.
Peace
at night.
Of mind. Peace of mind.
There it is.
Being able to understand it and enjoy. Relax.
Leonard, I appreciate you, man. And I know this is the weirdest time we get to watch the other
teams
play this week and next week. And as I told my wife, this is the strangest. There's not a 1 o'clock Sunday kickoff again until September 10th. So,
yeah, very, very strange.
You're going to wait 8 months for that. Leonard Raskin, give me a fan of RaskinGlobal.com, as well as out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com, giving wise advice, just like our friends at Wise Markets, as we have had the Maryland Crab Cake Tour last week at G&A, Coney Island Hot Dog up in White Marsh. Had a great, great chat. I'm smiling, thinking about Andy, as well as Mike Shue from WJZ joined us, and my pal Nick Fisher from Wise Markets and the Honey Go location. You'll be hearing all that all week long. Lucas and Owings Mills. We are figuring out Greg Roman and John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and all of the off-season activities of the Baltimore Ravens. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.